great to be here. It's great. It's a great privilege and awesome time to be here with just Jesus Christ and his body and the mission that we have. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to read one verse, an amazing verse, Pentecost. And Peter speaks and he says in verse 40, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort." And it meant he did it continuously with great authority, with encouragement also, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Father, thank you for this amazing week that we have together. We thank you for salvation by grace. And we pray that you would help us to, every single day of our lives, be delivered from the enemy, the old sin nature, the world system that just so tries to make advances against the Christian and the church. We pray, God, for this is as it was in that day, even evil waxes worse and worse. It's an untoward generation. So bless this time, this very night. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I got saved in 1976, January 6, 1976. And that was amazing salvation, delivered from sin, the old sin nature, the world system, the plan that the enemy had. And that's amazing. And many people live based upon the testimony of I got saved then. But in James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "Receive with meekness the engrafted, implanted word, which is able to deliver your souls." In other words, I need my soul delivered every day. Amen? Are you with me? I need my soul delivered. 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, "I've been delivered," positional truth in the past, eternal. "I am being delivered on a daily basis, and I shall be delivered," so that spirit, soul, and body. And so how important it is, and as we see in 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul says to Timothy also the same idea. He says that take heed unto yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so you will both save yourself and them that hear you. So he's saying that there is enemies all around. We heard a great message Sunday night from Joshua 10. Wasn't that amazing? It was amazing. Pastor Justin, I was just couldn't stop thinking about that. Peter gets up and he says, the word is sozo, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Sounds like Italian ice cream a bit, spilogenia. Save yourself from this, and it's not. It's definitely not ice cream. Maybe it comes that way to kind of like tempt us. But how many of you know, and I'm sure you do, that the enemy, when Jesus is baptized and the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," immediately Satan takes him into the wilderness and says three times, "If you're the Son." He makes a frontal attack immediately after the voice of the Father. And so if the enemy has the audacity to attack the Son of God, the incarnate Christ, what do you think about his body and us as individual believers? You think he would like maybe have some idea about that? Hello? You know, one of the saddest things today is how few Christians understand warfare. I'll include myself in it, and just not understanding that this is really warfare. Peter says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And we can look at this and say, you know, how does this take place? Or what's he talking about? This untoward generation, this is what it means. This polluted generation. This wicked generation. This perverse generation. This advancing evil generation. He doesn't call the generation just the kind of nice things to be around and live in. He says it's wicked, polluted, perverse, and evil. If that's how it was then, what do we think about now? He said, save yourselves from this wicked, evil, perverse generation. There's things happening in the world today, and even in the attack against Christianity, that has Christians and churches doing some incredibly interesting things. And they have not understood this, and this can happen to any of us individually. Save yourself. How do I, like, what do you mean save myself? And we're not talking about eternal security. We know that and we believe that and we've learned that and we study that and we adhere to that. But on a daily basis, I need to be a person who is delivered into Jesus Christ himself. Save yourselves from this wicked, evil, perverse, polluted generation. It's educational systems, it's trend, it's cultures, it's moral values. Are you with me? I mean, it's incredible what's going on today. And so these conventions are great opportunities for you and I to hear word of God, words of God, doctrine, truth, be in the body of Christ, and to really be delivered. Because I have no idea what the attack will be this year or this week or next week or whenever, but God says that we can save ourselves from this polluted, evil, perverse, wicked generation. He doesn't call it just a nice thing. I don't really care. You know, is it, well, in our country, everything is so good. Wicked, evil, perverse, perverted, polluted. Call it what you want. Okay, I'm not talking about food and dress and things like that, but wherever it may be. I was in New York City recently and I thought to myself, wicked, evil, perverse, perverted generation. Wow, look at this place. People walking around, you don't even know if somebody's a man or a female or a male. You have no idea what's going on with alternative lifestyles, drug addiction, people smoking dope right on the streets like it's nothing at all, and the things that are going on, and you think about it. And God says, you and I can do what? Save what? Save ourselves from this perverted, polluted, wicked, evil generation. I don't want to take upon myself the habits and the things that are going on, the standards and the system that is going on out there. And if I'm not careful, it creeps into our lives. And it's just kind of like you don't even know what's happened. It just happens to be there. How do I save myself? Peter gives us the way to do it. And if Jesus Christ is our rock, then we know that Jesus Christ himself is the Word of God. It says they gladly received. How do you save yourself from this wicked, perverted, polluted, perverse generation? You gladly receive the Word of God. The word is apodekomai, and it means you embrace it. Like, here's Pastor Angelonis, you're standing right there. And I say, I love Pastor Angelonis, and I receive him. But this is what it really means. My back hurts. Gladly receive. Apodekomai. I gladly receive. I embrace it with all of my heart. I receive the word because the word is God. Open your Bible. I like the song that we began with in the beginning. Open up the heavens. Open up my Bible. I mean, really, opening my Bible, hearing preaching. I don't want to miss church services. I'm preaching to the choir. That's usually how it takes place. But glad, just embracing and welcoming in God's Word. That's how I save myself. And it's not works and it's not me doing it, but I'm receiving from God himself. He is the Word. Gladly, they gladly receive the Word. There was preaching and preaching. You know, sometimes I hear people say, oh boy, wasn't it amazing what happened in the early church? Are you trying to tell me that was for then and it could not be for now? Is that what you're trying to say to me? Isn't it the same Jesus? This same Jesus, Acts 1:11? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Jesus? This same Jesus gladly received the word. I'm here this week. I'm not glad I'm here. Not to receive a hot dog. Not to receive hamburgers, although they're good. I love cheeseburgers. Not to receive popcorn. That's also amazing. My granddaughter said, are you going to get some popcorn tonight? I said, we'll get popcorn. I hope. And ice cream. But gladly, I'm here to gladly receive the word. I love loving the word of God, falling in love with God's word. embracing God's word heartily from the heart. This is how I am delivered. Hello? I get God's thinking instead of my thinking. I get God's thinking instead of the news's thinking. Political thinking. Educational thinking. Obtuse carnal Christianity thinking. I get God's thinking. Amen? Then the next thing I have is they met together all the time. They had fellowship. How do I save myself from this polluted, evil, perverse, wicked generation? By being with the body. Amen? Fellowships, they were together. They had all things in common. And that's amazing. How do I save myself? You know what? You know what alien opposition is? The world. That's what it means. The word cosmos means that which is alien from and in opposition to God. That's the world. Oh, it's so tricky, isn't it? Alien opposition. I'm in the body because Jesus is the head of the body. So when we're together, Christ is with us. Amen? That's how I saved myself from this perverted generation. I went home a while back and they said, "You're still doing that Christian thing?" I said, "You're still doing that Satan thing?" Oh boy, I know what I got saved from. Huh? He's the head of the body. And when I'm around the body, I'm going to be delivered. The next thing is the rock of prayer. We got the rock of the word, the rock of the body, the rock of prayer. I pray to a throne of grace. And God answers prayers. Amen? Save myself from this evil, perverted, polluted, perverse generation. We have the throne of grace. They prayed and the house was shaken, Acts 4. They prayed and it made a difference. They prayed. And by the way, I'll tell them at the wrap tonight if I'm doing it about some real miracles of prayer where buildings actually went down that were against Christianity. Hello? They prayed. And then you know what else? You know what else is another rock? Is the gospel. We bring the gospel to a lost and dying world, and by participating in it, we're not just, you know, when I go evangelizing, I can feel I'm being delivered myself. I'm being delivered myself, so the more I want to do it a lot because I need a lot of deliverance. Save yourself. We've got the rock of the word, the rock of the body of Christ, the rock of the gospel message that we have, the rock of prayer. And we can be delivered. We can be delivered on a daily basis. This is how important it is. We are in a war and we are in a fight. 2 Timothy 4:2, 1 Timothy 1:18, 1 Timothy 6:12. We're in a fight. You know that? Hello? Hello? We're in a I don't know what you're talking about. What's this fight thing about? Combat. This is warfare. To put our feet on the necks of the kings. Amen. That's what's going on. I want to be delivered. This convention is an opportunity on a daily basis and then going on with being delivered from God. First message he preaches, save yourselves from this polluted generation. Oh, it's not so bad. Oh yeah, I remember one time having a teacher. The teacher said to me, "There is no God." I said, "I need to see you after class." I said, "First of all, I don't care what you give me for a grade. Secondly, you're a liar. You're a liar. Save yourselves." One time I got paid $100 an hour to teach Christian psychology in the university, and I taught the Bible for 16 weeks. And they kicked me out after that. They said, "You're gone. We thought you were teaching Christian psychology because you have all the credentials." I said, "I've been saved from those credentials." Save yourself from a wicked, perverse, evil, polluted, contrary to God generation. This is what we're in the middle of, and I don't want it to affect me. And I don't want it to affect those who are coming, young people, Bible college students. Let's be a people who are not controlled by the world, the culture, the old sin nature, the trends, the standards of this life. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Father, thank you tonight. Help us, God. Just help us, God. As Peter would cry out to you, they would come, they would stand right up in Jerusalem, bringing this message of the word, the grace of God, the love of God, the body of Christ, praying, religion coming against them. Ungodly, atheistic, agnostic trends. God help us. We're in a fight. But we stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. He will fight for me. So we thank you. Bless our night in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, if you would stand, please. We have a need for a Hungarian interpreter and a Russian interpreter. So if you could go back to that corner there, they'll show you if you would like to take that opportunity. All right, and would you talk to each other for a couple of minutes here just about what Pastor Schibelli was talking about? You are not part of the untoward generation.
Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Yeah, turn to Matthew. You may be seated. Turn to Matthew 16. Wasn't that a good message? Boy, what a blessing. Thank you for coming here. How many? Who has traveled the furthest? Who wants to be in the competition? Who traveled? You think you traveled the furthest to come here? Would you stand up? Go ahead. Go ahead, stand up without shame. I know Jesus said, I know, there we go, let me see. Pastor Jabulani, okay, South Africa. He's in the running with Japan, Dr. Chung, and with Pavel from Siberia, and Pastor Ratan is from Bhutan. Okay, so, because in our services we are not using our iPhones for research. We'll do the research later. So just make a mental note to those that are interested. You have Bhutan, Japan, South Africa, Philippines. Okay. All right, so I guess we got to change the subject now and move on. Okay. Thank you for coming. And of course, the most important things in life are immeasurable. How many people here have led a soul to the Lord this past year? And maybe two or three. Immeasurables. But who laid their hand on somebody and said a prayer and Jesus Christ spoke and saved and healed and touched a person, right? And we are honored to be here in an assembly made up of people who really believe that. And live like that. Thank you, Lord. We are the church. And this is our message. Pastor Schibelli, what an honor to be with men of God and messages like that where we are learning the time we live in, attitude that we have, privileges that we have, and also being awakened and alerted in the Holy Spirit regarding life. I think this week, some of us will say, you know, like maybe do some business in our hearts and say some things in our hearts that God, you know, God will deal or lead us and help us in our lives. In our work, in our ministry, in our families, and so on. So here is the graphic up on the screen. We're going to have a little light beginning here, because I'm going to ask you to talk to your neighbor, and I'm going to interrupt you, then we'll move on. But here it is. The graphic is built on a rock from Matthew chapter 16. Would you turn there with me? We know verse 13, Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say you are John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." So we have people are stupid, principle number one. Do we know who Jesus is? People around the world, everywhere in the world, do they know who Jesus is? In Mark chapter 1, I want you to notice something. We'll get to it. Well, I think we'll cover this right now. Go to Mark 1, and the devil knows who he is. And this is in Mark chapter 1 and verse 23. "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying," what does the unclean spirit say to Jesus? Three things here. Number one, say it back to me. "Let us alone." Have you ever been soul winning and the person you're talking to said, "Leave me alone"? Maybe that was the devil talking. I don't know. The devil said, "Leave us alone." Number two, verse 24. What have we to do with you, thou Jesus of Nazareth? So that's the second thing. Leave us alone. What do we have to do with you? What do you think the answer is? What do we have to do with you? The answer is nothing. You have nothing to do with me. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your motive isn't my motive. Your mind is not my mind. Your destiny is not my destiny. Your relationship with reality is not my relationship with you. I have nothing to do with you. And you are right, demons. Or was it more? Was it one, yeah, demon, yeah. You are right. But then they said, the demons said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And then he says the next thing, look at it. "Are you come to destroy us?" So there is the alienation of the demon world from Christ. And by the way, they know this alienation. They know. They are under a curse. They don't have anything to do with the Holy One. Notice the next title. "I know you. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." What do men say Jesus is? Jeremiah, Elijah. What do people are dumb? What do the spirits say, the demon spirits? "I know you. You are the Holy One of Israel." Didn't they say that? Now I want to say something about people. Watch this little picture here up on the screen. Here's a human being. How does he live? He goes to sleep. Then he wakes up. He lives awake. He goes to sleep. Wakes up. He thinks these thoughts and those thoughts, and then he's tired and he goes to sleep and he wakes up. People are people. You know what it is. We are people. But spirits are different. Spirits are like this. They exist. And when they have fallen, they are that way all the time. The way they are is the way they are all the time. That's why the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 that the devil is the accuser of the brethren day and night. Because the Spirit is not changing his mind. He is not having a different mood. He is not saying another day, no, actually, I would like to be with Jesus for a while. Well, actually, I know he's, you know, maybe we could warm up. Maybe somehow, you know, people are like that. But demon spirits are not like that. Demon spirits are the way they are, and they don't stop, and they are against the church. We'll read it in a second. When Christ establishes the church, he says the gates of hell will not prevail. And what he is saying is that, is this line here, what I'm saying is the mind of Satan is constantly at war with the church. What do you mean the church? What is the church? Let's define it. Go back to Matthew, please, chapter 16. And we are in verse 15. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I believe that many of the things that I'm saying tonight, we know these things in the Spirit. Many of us have been in the walking with God for decades, and many of you are serving God endlessly and tirelessly by God's grace, and you know Christ, and Christ fills you with the Spirit all the time. Many of you are Spirit-filled, doctrinally solid, growing Christians. That's amazing. But it isn't always that way. We'll see it in a little bit here. It isn't always that way, but I want you to see here, he talks to Peter and he says, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There it is. That's the church. Let's look at the diagram, the picture here. The rock here is really nothing less than God. God is the rock. This is in Colossians chapter 1, where we have a definition of Christ, which is very important in Paul's teaching, that people would understand that Christ is God. And he gives seven different titles to Christ in Colossians 1, 15 to 22. And let's make a note of that. Look at Colossians chapter 1 with me. We'll get moving here in a minute, but follow it with me. We are where the Spirit is. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your people, the church. We are the church, and we are built on the rock. Look at chapter 1, Colossians 1. This is only a brief commentary here on this without going into the verses. We have Christ is exalted, chapter 1, verse 15, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Paul is doing everything he can to exalt in the understanding of the Colossians' minds, the Roman Empire, the pagan world. They had many gods, but this Christ is the Almighty God, and he is holding everything together. And before anything ever existed, he was, and he always has been, and he's the head of the church. That's us. We are built on this rock. We are existing here with all of our heaviness on the rock, the heaviest elements of church life are not stronger than the rock. Let me say it this way. The rock, Christ, And the church that is built on it is made up of people who have understood by the Holy Spirit, by believing in Christ, the Holy Spirit is given to them, and they have the Spirit of God. Not all of them are understanding it so well, but they are born again. If they are born again, they are born again, and they're a member of the church. And they are on this revelation, like, who is Jesus Christ? He is the Christ. He is God. He is the Savior, the firstborn from the dead. He is the high priest in heaven. He has given us, he went to the Father to say to the Father promised us the Holy Spirit. Christ went to the Father, Luke 24:47, he said to the disciples, wait here and for the promise of the Father that he will come upon you. And this happened at Pentecost. And the Spirit indwells a believer, and we are members of the church. We are part of something that will never pass away, never wear out, never fade away, never perish from off the earth. We are part of the kingdom of God. We are members of the body of Christ. We are members of the church. And so we have this part here. Let's see, we've got Christ is also the fullness of God, the reconciler of all things. He is the head of the church. He is the creator of the universe and the maintainer of the universe. So now go back to Matthew 16 with me, please. In verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. This is really what we are eager to see happen in New Mexico, just to think of the United States. New Mexico, how could it happen that someone would see, believe, and know that Jesus is the Christ? And Jesus said, you are a blessed man if you see that. But on the outside of this, let's say, you know, in this world that we are living in, the world has no interest in the church. They have no interest in a meeting like this one. They have no interest in the things that we are believing in. They are foolishness to them. Do you ever see anything in the news or any reports, or do you ever follow? Is there any real interest in the world for the church? They think of buildings when you say the word. They think of maybe a grimy, dirty history, or the propaganda about the church, the negativity, the criticisms, and the attitude about the church, and the irrelevancy of the church, the morality of the church, and so on. They have no interest. But Simon Bar-Jonah, you are a blessed man. You know who I am. And when you know who I am, that changes your life. And so I build my church on this. How many Bible studies have you folks had in different countries and places in the world through, maybe it's now, you know, more than four decades. The church is growing. The church is living. People are getting, we say getting saved, of course. But I want you to think about it. More, I mean, getting saved, you can't get anything better than that. But getting saved. But think about it, that somebody walks home after a meeting and they are arrested. Jesus Christ, they say in their mouth, in their hearts. they say Jesus Christ in a new way. They bow their knee. They seek Him because now they know they can find Him. They can touch Him. I'll go back to the meeting. I'll go back to the meeting. They go back to the meeting with a little encouragement. They go back to the meeting. They go back. They get it. They go. They buy a Bible. We have seen it. They get interested in the Bible. And you like you enjoy it. What are you reading? Oh, I'm reading. I found this Bible verse. You know, this is the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Look at the verse. It says in verse 18, it says, I say also unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock, meaning the revelation of Christ. I think we all understand that. The revelation of who I am. You know my identity upon this fact, this relationship, that you become a worshiper of me upon this fellowship where the Holy Spirit is revealing to us the nature of God. The Spirit of Christ dwells in us. On this I will build my church. Now let's say a few things about this church. And in this picture, it's this castle. What is in there? What is this church? Let me tell you. It's Peter's failure. He denied Jesus. Let me tell you, it's a Christian's adultery. It's his lying. It's his sin nature. Because the church is not perfect. The church is not without sin. The church is not without compromise. The church is not without schisms in its history. We are a crazy people. Have you ever noticed it? We are a lying, deceitful people. Have you ever known? A passive, indifferent people. And I am using, Jesus is saying, I am using you. I am using you. But Lord, like, I'm a wicked wretch, a miserable in Romans 7. I am, woe unto me. And you could put all my sin on that rock, you know. And you just say, my sins will crush you, God. My sins will crush you. My sins will destroy your purpose. My sins will destroy your plan. My sins will bury you. My sins are greater than you. And of course, God is saying, really? Your sins are greater than me? Huh? Your lying, your deceit, your wickedness, your adultery, your indifference, your pride, your arrogance. Really? Yeah, but then we say, yeah, but Pastor, we know that the sin can't enter the kingdom of God. I know that. None of our sins will be in heaven. I know that. None of our sin nature will make it even 6 inches off the ground in the rapture. In the rapture, we're poof, we're gone. And our sin nature is in our body, buried in the dirt. Never to be lived in again. Never to be touched again. Where Christ overcame death and sin and the devil. And He built a church. And it is messy. It's crazy. Sometimes. Even in our own hearts. But do you know who you're dealing with? Like God could say, do you know who you are dealing with? Live in the flesh. Go ahead. To be honest, you don't need an invitation. You do it by nature. You live in the flesh. And that actually the bigger problem isn't that we would allow people to live in the flesh. The bigger problem is that we would say nothing about the fact that people live in the flesh. People don't need the encouragement. They need the notification that the Holy Spirit is saying, hello, I'm knocking on your door. Do you want a better life? And get your life straightened out by giving heed to me. Guys, if you would pay attention to me, I have a word in season to those that are weary. If you cast your care upon me, I care for you. I will uphold you. My grace is greater than your sin. My nature is greater than anything you could throw at me. We say, Lord, yeah, but you know, what about the division between the Orthodox and the Catholics? What about that in the church? And the Lord said, yeah, I know. I mean, what else is new under the sun that people can't get along? What about the candlestick being removed from Ephesus? I know. I'm the one that removed it. But all those that are born of God, of all those that God has given me, I have lost none. Their flesh caused trouble, but the trouble in the church simply cannot be. I simply have ordained that anything that would ever come to me from any human being at any time or any group of people cannot be stronger than what I have done. Because I have built my church. There are elements that maybe they look like they're the church, but they're not. There are elements maybe that there are people that may look like that they are born again, or they might act or it, or they have the name or the label, but they are not in the church. Most important thing for anybody on the earth is to believe in Christ and then follow it up with the assurance, the affirmation, the understanding, the witness of the Spirit that I am indeed born again. Therefore, I'm a member of the church. And listen, the illustration is simple. Here is Jesus' body as an example. And one finger is cut off and cast into hell. And we say that's impossible. In the same way, for anybody born of God cannot be cast into hell any more than Jesus would lose any part of his body or even any blemish on his bride, which is the church is raised without spot or wrinkle, without any blemish. And that church is a glorious manifestation of God's great grace to an otherwise miserable group of people that are lost. But because we have believed simply, then we are justified. And being justified now, we have the Spirit in us that is leading us in sanctification. And we are understanding some things about who we are. Let's read this in finishing here. It says in verse 18, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell. This is the part shall not prevail against it. Let me say something about that. I do not know how to say this as strongly as I want to. Pastor Schiavelli said it so well. We are in warfare. We are in warfare. A lot of times I don't want to be in a warfare. I want to be at the beach with, you know, lemonade, ice cubes, like, you know. I don't want to be in a war. But as you're at the beach, you're sitting in your lawn chair like, and suddenly a rifle shot rings out from the top of a building. You are targeted. I don't want to be in war. You are. You are. Why? Because in this part of the diagram up here, this one here, he's not stopping. Not stopping. He doesn't sleep. He's not changing his mood. He's as intense as he has ever been. He is a spirit. He has armies. He is recognizing. He can smell it. Just like the demon-possessed man came to Jesus and identified, I know you, I know who you are. People don't even know who I am. They think I'm Elijah or Jeremiah. I know who you are. That's in the spirit world. Let me tell you something. If you get serious with God, the devil knows who you are. and you can't even believe it, how he can identify you and how he can actually sharpen his eyes just like Job and say, I know my target. I know my target. And the other, I'm making this up the other day. Well, what's so special about him? You know what is special about him. You know that he is part of that. You know that he is learning. He is gaining wisdom. You know that he has something going on in his heart. You know his prayers ascend up into heaven. You know that he is in we can't even see him. He is hid with Christ in God. I mean, that I don't understand Colossians 3:3, but you follow it with me. We are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. I mean, maybe we are hid until God allows the devil to find us. I don't know. But I'm telling you that the devil identifies the church. Well, what are they? You just let them, you know, what are they? What does it matter? The devil goes, no. I know. If you release that, if those people, if they have connections, if Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he is the head of that body, if they are relating to each other in him, if they are rooted and grounded in this mystery, this reality, then we have found our target. We have found our enemy. And the Bible says we are far above him, far above principalities and powers. And in a way, we can say, what do you have to do with us? Nothing. You are lying. We are not. You are cheating. We are not. You are proud. We are learning not to be. You are cursing. We are blessing. You are fornicating. We are living in holiness and have found a joy in honoring men and women in relationships that are pure. We have found something new. We have identified. We enjoy the reality of a godly life filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There it is. That's what this world is about. It seems everything else is, I don't know, more or less important. You know? What? There it is. The gates of hell will not prevail. I'm on a winning team. I'm in something bigger than me. I can't believe it. We are part of something that affects nations, affects cities. We are part of something where I was thinking, what are we doing with our lives? We're teaching children. What else are you doing? Comforting the elderly. What else are you doing? Discipling teenagers and young people. What else are you doing? Praying for marriages. What else are you doing? Praying for the sick. What else is the church doing? Evangelizing in different parts of the world. What else are we doing? Distributing Bibles and booklets and literature. What else are you doing? We aren't much. We really are not much. But look at what we're related to. Look at, we're related to God. And God is in this world. And it's almost like all the craziness of the church on the rock, you know, like all the craziness that could ever happen is no problem to God. Because I am doing something through my son, and you can't get anything greater than my son. My son stands. My son faced death. And he's seated at the right hand. My son dealt with the devil. My son dealt with every lie. That's why, and let me finish up. If you and I can get addicted to living in the Spirit and recognize when I'm not in the Spirit, and that happens to me all the time. I am not in the Spirit. I'm not being overly subjective, but I want to get some point across. I am proud. I know that I am. At times, I don't know. I just, you know, it's hard to talk about it, but I want you to follow something with me here. We can drink of the Spirit, and the Spirit is not proud. We can drink of the Spirit, and the book does speak. And we don't have to speak. The book speaks. We can drink of the Spirit, and we can love without really thinking much about it. We just love comes out of our heart. And go to bed, it's simple. You go to bed, no revenge, no regrets. Last night I said some things about women in the church, remember? And I was rolling back and forth at night on my bed. Why did I say that? I shouldn't have. Wait, you know, man, wow, what about that? I was like, well, and I got to explain it and the whole thing. But, you know, being a pastor, it's like, in a way, it's like, who would want to be at the same time if God has given you that? And if the Holy Spirit, is making this happen in our work here and wherever in the world, then has nothing else in life to do. And if God has made me a body member, there's nothing in this world that will separate me from that relationship. Because this church, and I mean, whatever, there's Baptist, Presbyterian, East, West, there's history, there's the Syrian church, there's the Orthodox church, there's all kinds. It's like, I hope you get over the whole thing about all that and get deeper. The church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, the church at Philippi, the Spirit in a little house up in Harford County, the Spirit moving in Glen Burnie, the Spirit saving souls somewhere, the Spirit leading, the Spirit discerning, getting this book in our hearts and in our mind, and making good decisions, application regarding the world that we live in out of love. Somebody said to me today, how do you answer at work when somebody says, you know, what do you think about homosexuality? And he said, how do you answer that without, you know, without the whole thing becoming? I say a couple different things, but they're very simple. If my son or my daughter came home and said, I am gay or I'm a lesbian, then I got to be honest with you. That means maybe no grandchildren. And I want grandchildren. That's my answer. I really want grandchildren. And they said, well, that's not politically correct or, you know, whatever. But I don't know what it is. I just telling you from my heart. I would like to have grandchildren. I think that's normal. Well, through my family tree, we've had grandchildren. Why would I want it any other way? Now, I'm not mocking or making fun. I'm just talking. I'm just saying we are in a troubled world. And the only way I could get any of this correct, listen, you start your life, you may be very confident when you're 20 years old. But by the time you're 40 years old, you start wondering how much you really know. By the time you're 60, you say, thank God for the church. Thank you, God, for the church. I wouldn't have a clue. I wouldn't be ready for death. I wouldn't be ready for the doctor. I wouldn't be ready for the bad news. I wouldn't know how to handle it. But I got Jesus gave us the church and the gates of hell. And as much as hell hates what we are, hates what we believe, and mostly hates the Spirit. For when the demon came to that, Jesus said, we know who you are. Leave us alone. What do we have to do with you? Did you come to destroy us? And we go, you know, that's a pretty good idea. Yeah, we would like to. And your day is coming. But until then, we will be a thorn in your side. We'll be an answer from God to the hurting people. We'll have a message in a timely way, maybe. We'll help people find a dad or a mom. We'll help people live a good, normal, healthy life, maybe. And maybe when we fall in hard times, we'll definitely have the Comforter and lead us and guide us in a faith mission. And I'm amazed, and I'll say even more, I am so proud in the Lord of people that have said, I will go, I will do it, I will believe you. And they come back bringing fruit with them. And they have this smile or this joy or this simplicity as humble servants of God, saying, God did it. God did it. God's with us. It was a terrible year. It was a terrible year. Crazy year. Worst I've ever had. And then, the greatest year of my life. You know what I'm saying? It's a paradox. It's been tough, but I wouldn't trade it for anything, because Jesus is with us, and we are the church that conquers. Amen. Yeah. Wow. Lord, thank you for this assembly and the things that we read from your word. And we need you. We realize more and more. When we were 20, we said, we can do this. We can get this done. We can live a life. Oh, I'm going to get a car even. I'm even going to get a job. I can do this. And we are happy for that attitude too. But we say to the young people, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Yes, doing the right thing by God's grace, by faith, not just morally, but by faith. And you'll find God will take care of you and lead you and help you. We hope so. It's his business, not ours. He built the church. And it's our privilege that the gates of hell, they do day and night, but they cannot destroy. It'll pop up in another place. They'll kill all the Christians in Japan. Remember that in the 16th century? Slaughtered everybody they could possibly find that was a Franciscan or what was it, a Jesuit or Christ is mentioned. They wiped them out. But the church sprung up in Korea. The church springs up in China. And then our prayer that the church is springing up in Japan too. Lord. Yes, in Jesus' name. Amen.